Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We have been doing really well in the citizenship test in regards to our learning of the citizenship test. I mean, to be honest, there's things that we just didn't know. Or, you know, this is kind of helps us out. What's the name of the guy that talks about, that wrote the book about building the brain? He's going to build a brain.
Oh, Ray Kurzweil?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of explains it really well that by the time you're 20 years old, you already have learned everything that you're going to learn.
Hmm.
And so that you can't, and in other words, you used up all the part of your brain that remembers things.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to unlearn some things to learn something new. And so this is the reason why we must have forgot this. We had to set aside the Constitution for a while so that we could learn other things. But that's something, that's what the brain, he says, the brain, you know, works where you have to, by the time you're 20, you're pretty, and think about what we put in our brain by the time we're 20.
Not much.
You're right, right. But you used it up. Used it up.
Yeah, that little bit.
Yeah. What the Saints do? What they score?
Ooh, Lord.
But think about it. And so you have to unlearn. Maybe that's the reason why this stuff, I do have a vague memory of this.
You know? What?
A vague memory of this. But it's like, it's amazing. It's like, oh my goodness, it's all coming back to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you guys are doing so well. You're not going to have to self-deport or anything like that. But we're going to ask 5 questions from the U.S. citizenship test that we do as we're working our way through the 100 question test that you have to take if you want to be an American citizen. And I'm just so glad that they don't call the class in of America and say, okay, you take this test, and if you don't pass it,
if you don't
score an 80 or better, you have to. We're going to send you out of the country. And the sad thing about this is the enemies of America probably know every answer to this, who live, the domestic enemies. And they are using it against the people who don't even know it, who don't even know it. So when you're going to get a chance to think. So Pat and John, I'll give the test, I guess.
We can switch.
But I am learning. I am learning. Do you want to switch? Okay, never mind. when you get a chance to think, you want to be able to take your time and just ponder it and just pray, dear God, what's the answer? While you're thinking, of course, you're going to... Yes, right. That's thinking music. That is thinking music. Of course, once you give your final answer, then we'll stop and we'll listen, and all the world will lean forward to hear your correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you get it right, we're all going to just keep applauding you, and it's going to be great. But if you get it wrong... Okay, let's get started with the U.S. citizenship test. Question one for today, which is actually 66th question on the 100 question test, but question numero uno for El Deo. Okay, here it is. John. Okay.
Yes.
Pat? Okay. John.
Yes.
Question one from the U.S. citizenship test to see if you have to go to Iraq or Pakistan, as we talked about. When, here's a question, when was the Constitution written? When was the Constitution written? John, here it is.
Question
one for today from the U.S. citizenship test to make sure that you don't have to self-deport. We're not going to force you, but we're just going to buy the ticket, and you got to pick it up and you got to go.
Right? Okay.
But you're doing this on your own free will. It's called self-deporting. Here's the question. When was the U.S. Constitution written?
The Constitution was written when? Thomas Jefferson wrote it.
Oh, that was lame.
Oh, my goodness.
In 1776.
Of believe it or not, the Constitution, well, remember 1776 was the Declaration of Independence, right?
Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, it's like those things kind of converge with you. And actually how they do, they are the same founding father documents and all. But it actually was written, here's the question, let me repeat the question. When was the Constitution written? It was written in 1787. The Constitution was written in 1787 because we declared our independence in 1776, and I believe there was a Continental Congress that began to work this thing out or whatever, and then they had the question you had last time we were doing this, they had a constitutional convention.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think we're almost 11 years later.
Yeah.
No need to rush everything. You think Congress, everyone would pass bills before they read it. It's like, they take time with 11 this. Years. Come on, guys.
Their founding fathers are rolling over in their grave to think that anybody passed a bill without reading it. That's amazing. Okay, question number two is going to Pat. Pat, here's the question for the U.S. citizenship test. Question two, which is your first question, is the Federalist Papers. This is from the U.S. citizenship test to be able to be a citizen of America. You've got to pass this. The Federalist Papers. Imagine that. I mean, think about it. Mm. It's like most Americans are going like, the Federalist what?
Ooh.
The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of the writers in the Federalist Papers. Okay, here it is, Pat. Mm-hmm. This is a huge question because I didn't know what the Federalist Papers were until maybe the last 3 years or something. I did not hear about this or I heard about it and it bounced off my ear. I don't know, but here it is. This is your question for the U.S. citizenship test. The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one. Just one of its writers.
How about Alexander Hamilton?
Yay! Whoa. That was good. Oh my goodness.
Little trivia here.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, my wife is actually related to him.
Really?
On her father's side.
Are you
serious? He owes me some money.
Yeah. Really? On her father's side. Yeah.
Oh, the Henrys.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Wow.
No, well.
Wow.
Wow. Question number three is going to John. John, here it is for the U.S. citizenship test. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Here it comes.
Come on.
We don't want you to have to deport. Here it is. What is one thing Benjamin Franklin is famous for? What is one thing that Benjamin Franklin is famous for? John, here it is. Your question for U.S. citizenship test is, what is one thing, just one, he's known for a lot, one thing Benjamin Franklin is famous for?
How about, he was a signer, Constitution?
Pat's wanting to steal it. Can you believe that? He's like, he's pointing at himself.
I'll
beat
him to it. He started the first fire department. How's that? Volunteer fire department. can someone take control of that? Womp, womp, womp.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
He discovered electricity.
He did. He did.
He invented the light bulb.
No, he didn't.
What? Thomas Edison.
That wasn't Ben Franklin. That was Edison.
That was Edison.
Well, obviously, there's a different answer. What is it?
Okay, okay. Here it is. I'll help you
obviously
out.
They left it out.
Wait a minute. They're so glad that I'm helping them out now. Here's the question. Here is the question. I'm just telling you what's on the test. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, they almost left some out.
Yeah, obviously, you guys got really creative. Y'all came up with everything. Isn't he the one, the Walt on water and the Red Sea's parted and all that stuff?
Yeah, he did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and he played on the Saints. Didn't he play in the Saints? He was on the Saints team.
If he did,
he was like a center or so, quarterback or something. It's so what is the question for the U.S. citizenship test? What is one thing Benjamin Franklin was famous for? He was a U.S. diplomat.
Yeah.
Or the oldest member of the Constitutional Convention. Or the first postmaster general. He's the one who started the post office. Isn't it interesting that a founding father started what's actually coming to an end now when things are kind of coming to a point?
Wow.
That the very thing he started, the post office is struggling now to be able to survive. He also started a writer for Poor Richard's Almanac. Wow. I mean, this is a real smart man.
Oh man, I saw his grave in the cemetery he was buried in Pennsylvania.
And
did a lot.
See, as he's buried in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he did a lot. I mean, I think he was a diplomat. I think he was pivotal in talking to the French during the whole time that the revolution was going on, trying to get their buy-in.
As he was a diplomat, he would go over there. And he was just a willer and a diller, just trying to represent.
My goodness.
Yeah, the last moments and some different things that I've learned about him. That, I mean, he's over there cutting some deals to be able to fund what's taking place over in America. And the interesting thing, too, is maybe those monies for bringing the Jews to America came through his work. You know, the funding for the revolution came.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was over there cutting deals for all that to take place. And I don't know, but it very well could have been. That's what a diplomat does. But he's just a very, very smart, smart man. But the U.S. Post Office is here today because of Benjamin Franklin starting it.
Did you know he's also friends with George Whitefield, one of the famous preachers? He'd go many times his sermons.
I did. And George Whitefield was the one who, amongst others probably that were on the earth today, the one that we know of, that brought the truth of God's word and understanding that we're personally accountable to God. We're not collectively accountable. Mm-hmm. We're personally accountable to God.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Wow.
And George Whitefield would preach so loud that you could hear him, you know, miles and miles away. Or not miles away, but just.
But thousands would show up.
Thousands would show up and the whole crowd would hear. And that's where Benjamin Franklin would come down just to see if you could really hear him. And they built a friendship right there. Well, here is question number next. And it's going to Pat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. This is the next question on the U.S. citizenship test. This is what you have to pass to be a U.S. citizen. So when people raise their hands up and they swear an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic, they have this inside of them.
Wow, that's huge.
Isn't it? It just gives you more of a respect and an honor for those that are willing to say they're excited about it.
Yeah,
and the ones
that
have been around, you know, we've taken it for granted. And we got to say, you know what? We need to be just like a person first day on the job. We're just excited to be here. And grateful to God to be able to be in such a nation like this. But here's the question to you, Pat. No pressure. From the U.S. citizenship test, who is considered the father of our country? Who is considered the father of our country? Oh, great. That's great. Very quick. Okay, here's the question. The question is, on the U.S. citizenship test for America, who is considered the father of America?
That would be George Washington.
Whoa!
Uh-huh.
I mean, think about it. That the church, as a church, we've left that very understanding. He wanted more applause.
Oh,
sometimes
geez.
You just don't think like he thinks. You didn't realize he's really going, you know, glory, glory, glory. You know.
Higher, lift me higher.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I misinterpreted the sign language. No, think about it. that we consider, and rightfully so, George Washington as the father of America, you know, as he fought for it and led it and all. The thing about it is how the church has left fathering. And we don't say there's a father. The church predominantly doesn't say at large that there's a father. You know, he says, we have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. Yeah. That's what Paul said when he was talking. Then he said, imitate me. Mm-hmm. Well, you think about this. He's the father of America. Let's imitate George Washington and his concepts for, you know, being the father. It's okay. He's the father of America, who, by the way, as soon as he swore in on his family Bible, he took it and went to church with that Bible and prayed even in church at that time with the church there where he was. And it's just amazing how far we've left from our roots right there. John, here's the last question for the day. It's from the U.S. citizenship test. It is for your citizenship. The ticket is purchased. It's laid on the counter. We will not force you to take it. You have to voluntarily pick it up, and it's to Iraq.
Right. Thanks.
No pressure. No pressure. And by the way, when you get there, you can plant new churches. Okay. All right. Question number next, last, is from the U.S. citizenship test. Man, it's so hard to say. Who was the first president? Who was the first president? Are you Googling? You know, things that we think about, oh, everybody knows that, but understand people come from other countries. They don't know this yet. They have to find out where we came from and our roots, and they have to find out who was the first president. Mm-hmm. So here it is from the U.S. citizenship test. Whew. The citizenship test. Here it is. Who was the first president?
That would be George Washington.
Hey, oh my goodness. We are doing so well. We've moved all the way through so many questions, all up to 7. We have 30 left. We'll be doing those over a period of time. Wonderfully, we are learning our original intent, going back to our founding fathers. Lord, help us to retain what people gave their life for and to remember our what it means to be a citizen. It is time, I want to tell you guys, it is time for the USSSSS. Citizens.
Wow. Wow.
I've been trying to get them to do an intro to this, but I had to do my own then because it's like, hey, they're not going to get this intro done. You know, something exciting. We only have 100 questions.
Need an intro.
Yeah, we need an intro. This is the USSSSS.
Let's get ready to rumble, right?
That's about what it's like.
Oh yeah, he knows how
rumblings,
to do that.
Rumblings instead of answers. Well, of course, here's the test. 5 questions from the U.S. citizenship test today, off the 100 question test to be able to become a United States citizen. Of course, we already know now. And I just heard. By the way, I was just reporting on the news last night that 65% or something like that Americans didn't understand or know that the U.S. Constitution was the supreme law of the land.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
luckily, a couple of weeks ago, we did. We do now.
We know this now.
We do because we've taken the test. If you've missed these tests, listen, we do 5 questions at a time. We humiliate ourselves little by little, not just one big, huge humiliation. And we are taking the citizenship test ourselves, or at least I'm giving it to Pat and John.
Thank you.
And, you know, as I'm like, anyway. So we're learning as we go. We're learning as we go, and we're so surprised that the only ones who really knew anything about America are the ones who just became citizens. Congress don't know, you know, the representatives don't know, Senate don't know, the judiciary branch don't know, the president doesn't know, governors don't know. It's like, but, you know, thank God, you know, we know. And so this is how it works. I'm going to ask 5 questions off the U.S. citizenship test. This is question number 71 through 75, but it's 5 today. And, of course, if, in fact, I'm going to give you time to think. You always get time to think. And just take your time, but hurry up because we only have a short program here to be able to do this on. While you're thinking, after the question's answered, you're going to hear.
Exactly.
And you can think as long as you want to, but as soon as you have your final answer, you're ready to go, let us know. Or the music stops, you got to be ready to go. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's do this thing. Of course, if you get it right, and Pat really loves this part, sometimes he asks for a standing ovation. Yes. And of course, if you get it wrong, I think John got one wrong 3 times last time.
It's the same question.
Same question. Like, stop when you're behind. Stop when you're behind. Okay, here is question numero uno for El Diaz, right? Mm-hmm. There it is. Question 1, John, off the U.S. citizenship test. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803? Ask it again. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803? Wonderful. Here he goes. There's the question, John, to you from the U.S. citizenship test. So you will not have to self-deport. Is what territory? What? I'm punched. Hold on a minute. Jiminy crickets.
he's
is that your final answer? Is that your final? Is that your final answer? You gotta wait the questions ask. Wait the question to ask. This is not time to talk about other things. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803?
Okay, wanted to make sure the year was correct.
Oh, come on.
All right, that's what I wanted clarification.
This is a man that can't remember putting gas in his name. Right, like, 1800 what? 1800 what?
Wouldn't that be the Louisiana Purchase?
Yes. All the Midwestern states, you're looking at part of Montana and North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, part of Wyoming, part of Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Iowa, you know, parts of Iowa.
And, a deal there.
Yeah, and wow. It's amazing. That was just the center of the United States that was purchased at that point. Pat's having a learning moment.
Why does France own part of our country?
Well, remember, it wasn't ours to begin with. We just took it.
But we were living
That's
here.
Another test. That was another test. That was another
interesting.
Test. Okay, Pat, here is your question on the U.S. citizenship test for today. So you will not have to self-deport from between the two smokestacks. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s. Wow. Okay.
Wow, that was.
Is this going to be your final answer?
Final answer.
Good.
Okay. Here's the question. What name one scientific experiment? Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s.
Well, that would be the Civil War.
Very good. Very good. Of course, that would be, one of them would be the Civil War. It wouldn't be just the Civil War, right?
That's the one I know.
Hey, that works.
It works.
That works. John, you want to take one, just a shot at one of these other wars?
I don't like showing off.
That means he doesn't know.
Oh, here's the war's fault in the 1800s. It is the War of 1812. The War of 1812, which is pretty, you know, 1800s, right?
Mm-hmm.
War of 1812.
Counts. Hey.
The next one was the Mexican-American War.
Oh.
You knew that, right?
He's quiet. He's so quiet. The Civil War. That's pretty important, right? The Civil War and the Spanish-American War. That was really good.
Wow.
That was really, really good.
I would have never known that.
Yes. 1800s. Because the 1900s, you know, obviously you know what those are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then here we are. Question number next, John.
Next.
Name for this is the U.S. citizenship test that you have to pass this test to be able to be a U.S. citizen, but you don't have to pass it to be a congressman or the president.
Obviously.
You know, wow. Here it is. Name, and by the way, they swear to take an oath to defend this thing.
But they don't know.
They don't know it or they deny its existence. Mm. I deny I've ever known that it existed. Okay. Name the U.S. war. John, name the U.S. war between the North and the South Name the U.S. war between the North and the South. Oh, here we are. Is this your final answer?
Final answer.
And here it is. Here's the question. The question is, name the U.S. war between the North and the South.
Alex, for 1,000, I'm going to say the Civil War.
Yes. It's so important because that was the war between the states. That's when states are fighting states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it pretty well divided between the North and the South, but it was when states were fighting the states. And that's why you see people who fly flags that represent that season of our nation is really, you got to really think about that. You're flying a flag to say, hey, I'm celebrating a divided country.
Right.
Bad times. We want to be careful what we're, sometimes people do it ignorantly.
Mm-hmm.
And some people do it intentionally. But we don't want to be able to we are the United States, not the divided states of America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was a real, real tough time in American history. And we got some questions coming up about that next. Pat, question number next. From the U.S. citizenship test is, name one problem, just one, because there were several. Name one problem that led to the Civil War. Name one problem that led to America's Civil War. Okay, this is your final answer, right?
That's it.
Here it is. From the U.S. citizenship test, name one problem, just one of them, that led to the Civil War.
Slavery.
You can think of three things, slavery, economic reasons, and state rights. But yet they were all intertwined between the economy that was built on the backs of African Americans in our country.
Mm.
And so when you see people talking about economy at the same time they're talking about slavery, it makes sense.
Mm.
Sure.
It makes sense. And so it's fair for all of Americans to listen to the economic equations and possible remedies of things that was done in our country to remedy, to make it right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because what you had was you had some states that wanted to keep their economies that was built on the backs of African Americans. That's what they were wanting to do. And that so money was made because many African Americans labored in the fields for that to be able to make that kind of money. So you got economy and you got slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had state rights because states were saying, you can't tell us what to do. We're going to continue to act like this. And we're going to continue to oppress our brothers. Mm. They didn't say brothers. That's what the North was going like, you can't do that. You got to find some other way. But they had the manufacturing aspect. They were actually, you know, taking advantage of children in the North and working them young in the factories and doing things like that. But their economy was based off machines.
Mm-hmm.
And down South, it was based off of men. And so they just had a different form of industry. The question is, if they wouldn't have had that, would they have had the same argument? The truth is, you know, righteousness came out of that in the context of it. But so cool, though, everybody, you know, of every race was in this war on both sides.
Wow.
So that means that the ones who were fighting for what's right in regards to the freedom to get the economy off the backs of the African Americans, and if they do, if it's their work, then that's their money. And they have the right as an American to enjoy the fruits of their labors, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's not for that person to, unless you pay them a wage.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it means that all races fought for the freedom of the slaves, that this is not right. And a lot of times, you know, people present it as if it was just, you know, African Americans that were fighting the white man for freedom. But the truth is, it had to be. A lot of every race fighting to be able to free America from this lie, this constitutional lie that said that all you know, we declared that all men were created equal, and we weren't living it out. And for many years, and it wasn't until really Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did we finally come to a reckoning of the fullness of that. And now the economic issues, it looks like almost, you know, God's pressing America to deal with the economic issues mm-hmm. of the past. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And of course, you know, people, if we're empathetic towards that reality, then we need to be open to whatever God wants to do to bring economic realities and a balance sheet to things in the past. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
makes wow. sense. You know, our brothers are more important than money.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And we want everybody to have a chance to succeed in America. And the last question for today is going to John. Here it is. Question number last from the U.S. citizenship test. What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did? What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did? John, what was, this is the last question for today from the U.S. citizenship test. If you want to be a U.S. citizen, you have to pass this test. What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did?
Emancipation Proclamation.
Wow.
Yes, he actually freed the slaves.
He freed the slaves
by an executive order, mind you. He wrote an executive order called the Emancipation Proclamation. The thing about his executive order was that it was constitutional.
Right.
It was constitutional. What he wrote was things that you can study about his history. He pondered for years, like, how could we oppress our brother? How could the same constitution not fit all of us? And when he finally gets to this place, he's able to bring the constitutional reality to everybody by signing the Emancipation Proclamation. But it was done in executive order. He didn't go to Congress and say, hey, you know, let's pass a law, or let's just change right. this or change that. He did it by executive order, and then things progressed. And we're seeing executive orders done in current administrations and ones before that they're actually violating our constitutional rights. They're mm-hmm. Even under President George Bush about the Patriot Act, where they're going into all of our mm-hmm. searching our data and without, you know, violating our Fourth Amendment rights. Currently with the current president violating our Second Amendment rights and the things with different things such as that nature.
Yeah.
And
the FDR had like about 3,000, didn't he?
I don't know how many he had, but he was a violator of a lot of that, a total lot of that. But this is three things he did. He freed the slaves by signing the Emancipation Proclamation as the president. He saved or preserved the united part of the states of America, the Union.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could have blown apart. We could have been two different countries at that one point. And then he led, and I believe if it did become two,
mm-hmm.
that the southern part of the United States would look like Haiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the northern parts of the United States would look like
Dominican.
Yeah.
Where it's all that fruitfulness and all that. I think that line would have been drawn right there.
Yeah.
And we would have seen just something tragic. And the last thing he did is he led the United States during the Civil War. Imagine that. It's one thing leading a war abroad, but when your own brothers are fighting brothers, and his presentation and how he just balanced that and honored even both sides,
yeah,
and brought things together and said things in a way that the Gettysburg Address and all these different things to keep us together. I mean, is that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
That's yeah. beautiful. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you can see a monument of Lincoln. I mean, he's one of the ones that really just made a huge difference. And he's also on the penny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with him when they stop the penny.
I know. They need to put him on something else, too. I mean,
he's on the $5 bill.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They take them off the $5 bill and what we're going to do. A penny used to get gum. Now it takes a $5 bill to get,
$5 bill to get gum.
Get some gum. Yeah.
That's right.
But, well, that concludes today's citizenship test. Y'all did a wonderful, wonderful job. We'll be right back. Oh, it has been all the way since the first, since we've actually had the test. And I'm just pumped about being able to give it. And what I need to do is explain to you how it works. How it works is there's 100 questions that are given to everybody who wants to become an American citizen. And if you are American, if you're born in America, you're like default. You're like automatically American citizen. And you don't have to know nothing. You don't have to know these. We thought. But now we're finding out if we don't learn about our Constitution, if we don't learn about the Declaration of Independence, if we don't learn what our founding fathers had in mind, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. And I think about... You know, just real quickly again about the doctor that was speaking at the prayer breakfast,
Ben Carson.
Yeah, he said this guy. He said his mother. He likes to buy his mother expensive gifts, and so one time he bought her two birds that talked, and it's like $5,000 birds, and sent it to his mother. And he calls her up a little bit later and says, "How did you like the birds?" And she says, "They was good." And he's like, "You ate these?" These birds talk and dance and do all these fancier stuff. And she says, well, they should have said something. but this is how he ends that. He says, and that's what's going to happen to us if we don't say something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just going to be devoured. We're just going to be obsolete.
That's right.
And that's why we're doing the citizenship test. We're learning as we go, and we hope you're learning with us. And you can go back to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. And you can hear all the questions up to today and our wonderful responses. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. So what happens is, of course, we're very excited that, yes, you'll hear an applause like that when somebody actually gets a question right. When they get it wrong, you'll hear. But sometimes we need time to think. So when you're thinking, you're going to have personal time. That's your personal time to be able to think, because this is going to be a test given to Pat and John. They're doing so well at this. I think John is the closest one to self-deportation. I'm not sure. But Iran or North Korea, I believe, now has some empty lots that they've blown up, some spaces and things there. And so we're going to go to the first question. This is for the U.S. citizenship test. This is what you have to take and pass to be a United States citizen. And question number 76, which is numero uno for us today because we're only doing five of them, is going to John. John, here's the question. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Man of faith. Question is, what did the Emancipation Proclamation do? What did the Emancipation Proclamation do? All right, John, are you ready for your final answer?
I'm ready.
Okay, here it is. This is for your citizenship. Don't take it personal. You'll have to go to the back of the line, according to the speech last night, if you don't get this right. But when you get back up, you can take the test again. Here is the question from the U.S. citizenship test. Are you ready, John?
I'm ready.
What did the Emancipation Proclamation do?
Alex, for 5,000, I'm going to say it freed the slaves.
Hey! Oh my goodness. That's exactly it. That's so important. That is so important. It freed the slaves, and that was an executive order that was signed by President Abraham Lincoln, that became a law. Mm-hmm. And but it was constitutional executive order, you know, he did that. But you know, it's amazing. I was talking to a waiter at the Cracker Barrel, and we're talking to him about something, and he's looking at us like we're just foreigners, and we're thinking, we're so old, these people don't even know about these things. You can't assume just because you know something that this generation knows it. And that's so important, because that was the moment a president did what was right in a powerful way. And despite Congress, despite Senate, he signed executive order called the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed the slaves in America. Is that powerful?
Wow.
Totally, totally powerful, Pat.
Yes.
Here's your question. I see you got your Samsonite and you're ready to go. But if you get this right, maybe.
Make sure the phone's not in his hand. Just make sure.
No, he's not.
All right.
Well, it's the finger that couldn't do anything anyway.
Oh.
Here's the question, Pat. From the U.S. citizenship test, question next. What did Susan B. Anthony do? What did Susan B. Anthony do? From the U.S. citizenship test. So you do not have to go to Kyrgyzstan. What did? I mean, he's still looking all over the place for this answer. It looks like anything's really happening. So I'm like, sure, like, what did? I'm asking a couple of times and maybe it'll come down.
I heard him. He was like, Lincoln.
Yeah, he was all over that, wasn't it? Knowing your stuff, he's like, we'll find out. Maybe he's just throwing us off by the blank look in his face. Let's just see. What did? He's rubbing his forehead.
To me.
Yeah. What did? This is from the U.S. citizenship test. What did Susan B. Anthony do?
Okay, it's shot in the dark. Two things come to mind.
Oh, great.
All right. What did she do?
She designed the American flag.
That was Susan A. Anthony. This is the next one.
Right.
B. Anthony. No.
Did it have something to do with the... I better not say it. Go ahead. I got it anyway.
Well, you notice that John's not cutting in right here. Okay, this is the question. What did Susan B. Anthony do? She fought for women's rights. Ooh. Tracy, I can't believe he doesn't know this. This is so important. I am just blown away that he didn't know about Susan B. Anthony. Remember?
Wow. No.
Right.
I was with him.
Way to
on
revoke a high school diploma. Is there a way to submit for that or something?
I don't
know.
Remember anything. Did about you know school? No, because he would have cut in on you like you did him.
Yeah, he probably would have.
Question number next from the U.S. citizenship. Question number next from the U.S. citizenship test. Well, I was like, how many cells does Sally sell? Okay, we're going to go to the next question. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. You should have seen Pat's face. It was just like, he's like, great. He gets all the easy ones. Isn't the answer all of them, Alex? No, right, no, I'm joking. Name from the U.S. the test.
No, we want to hear it. The what test?
From the U.S. citizenship test.
Citizen.
Question number next in the tournament for citizenship. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. John.
I'm going to go ahead and say World War I. Yeah.
Hey. And like most of them, when they all fall, it's like, correct. You get the answer, that's correct. World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War, and today, all these wars going on at the same time we just call the terrorist war. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. You should have seen Pat like, dag, he gets all these easy ones. But here comes one for Pat. From the U.S. citizenship test, question next is, I mean, we really want you to be a citizen. I mean, think about it.
I'd like to stay a citizen.
I mean, you cannot speak anything but Cantonese. So here.
Not very well.
Not very well. That question is, from the U.S. citizenship test, is who was the president Who was the president during World War One? All right, Pat, from the U.S. the citizenship test. Who was the president of Kyrgyzstan? Just warming you up for the new citizenship.
All right.
Who was the president of the United States during World War One?
I believe he was your favorite president, Woodrow Wilson.
Whoa! Whoa!
Woodrow. Yes, Woodrow Wilson is the one responsible for the United Nations. He said that we would never go to war, and of course, he actually promoted the war. And because World War One happened because he actually felt like government should play a bigger role, so government should be bigger. But when World War One was happening and we weren't involved in it, they were so busy fighting each other, they weren't buying our products. And so the trade tax and the export tax and all that just dropped, and that's how the government was supported. Wow. And so it was because he wanted big government, he got America involved in war, in World War One, so we could have big government. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And he also is the one that, and believe me, the progressives went and got him. He was teaching, and I believe probably in New Jersey, one of the universities there, I forget now, but you can go back and...
Princeton.
You can go back and listen to, just type in Woodrow and the Torch and you'll hear all the things. And they wanted to promote their agenda through him. He was a speaker and a professor that could speak, and his students got up and applauded him. He had the ability to deliver a message. And they already had his message they wanted him to deliver. And, but when, that's how we actually declared war, because he thought there should be big government. I mean, think about the whole picture of that.
Wow.
And he saw problems going on in the country, and he thought that they're not being met. Maybe the answer is the government can meet these problems, you know, things that were taking place. Well, that was going good until the war started. When the war started, all the tax money that came in that supported the government, that came from people buying our products, began to drop down.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did he do? We got to go solve this war in a hurry so that it will never, people start buying our products again. They can afford to spit government. So then... once it's over with, of course, America is pretty dominant on the stage of helping win the war. So he begins to write up the whole concept of the League of Nations. And the League of Nations was, if we tie all the nations' economies together, they won't fight each other, because that means they'll crash. Well, America, obviously, in his mindset, was already tied to the other nations because they bought our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And in the context of that he developed the League of Nations. And he eventually died. They didn't go for that. But as soon as World War II was finished, they brought his concept in. They just adopted it and changed it just a little bit, and they call it the United Nations today. So, yes, Woodrow Wilson thought we should go to war because of, based on history, that we should have big government.
Huh.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Thank you, Woodrow.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Woodrow. Thank you, Woodrow. He segregated an unsegregated military.
Mm.
I mean, he did all these things, and these people having this Woodrow Award. I'm like, Woodrow, why would you have a Woodrow Award?
Huh.
Anyway, the question last. This is going to go to John. Thank you, Pat. It was very helpful with that. From the U.S. citizenship test. John, here it is. So you will not have to be deported from the United States and get to the end of the line. For your citizenship, citizenship of America, here's your question. The last question of the day. Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II? Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II? Okay, here it is. It's got to be your final answer. This is the last question for the day for the U.S. citizenship test. Here it is, John.
Let's see.
Question last. The question is, who was the president during the Great Depression and World War II?
Now, you're asking who was the president of this country, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Not Kyrgyzstan. Okay. Not Afghanistan. This is okay. Who was the president of the United States?
Yeah, there's a lot of presidents.
Yeah, you have to ask that nowadays because you never know. Are you really president of the United States because you're doing other things? Who was president of the United States during the Great Depression and War II?
I'm going to go with FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Delano. I think that was his cousin.
Think about it. Yes, that's absolutely right. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And that it's interesting how they put these two characters. You got Woodrow and you have Franklin Roosevelt, D. Roosevelt inside the citizenship test. It's almost like, what are we trying to say here? Is the progressive movement the movement that we're trying to promote here? You know, is those values and all? Well, y'all did a wonderful job for the U.S. citizenship test today. And we are almost done. 20 more left, and maybe we will not have to self-deport. We'll be right back after this break.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.